Well, the last time we were in the Pilgrim's Progress, if you remember from last Sunday night, our pilgrim had just scaled that great hill of difficulty. And if you recall, when Christian was there at the bottom of that hill, just by way of review, he prepared for that climb by drinking from the stream that flowed from the foot of the hill. And we know that those were the streams of living water that would propel him and enable him to get up that hill. But then, as Christian was ascending the hill, he started to slow down, just like a lot of us when we're going through trials and temptations. So from a run, he went to a walk, and from a walk, he ended up into a crawl. But he kept plodding on. He kept pressing on. And he did so until the Lord provided him a place of rest and refuge and refreshment. If you remember, there was an arbor in which he could rest under the cool shade of those trees. And that was just about halfway up. Not quite all the way there, halfway up. There's still more to come. But what happened in that arbor? What happened when he had just a taste of that rest and refreshment? Sadly, Christian fell asleep. He fell asleep. He made it halfway up the hill, but then he came to a standstill, because he became slothful, just like the one that he had met before. He now was facing the same issue. He was committing the same sin. He only got back up when he was stirred up by a message from the Lord from Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. There was still more work to be done. There was still more effort to put out so that he could climb up that hill of difficulty with God's strength. And with that, he was off like a dart. But he lost something very special in that arbor, didn't he? As we're going to see tonight, what he lost cost him very dearly. And so as we continue our journey with Christian at the top of the hill, on page 23 of our books, this is also online, but he met two new characters in our story, and their names are Timorous and Mistrust. Timorous means weak and timid, apprehensive. It reflects a physical fear of difficulty and danger. And I think in a lot of ways, we are timorous. When I was to go get my vaccine last Monday, I was a little timorous. I'm a wimp. I'm a self-admitted wimp. I don't like shots. I don't like anything that causes me pain. All right, well, that's timorous. That's me. Mistrust here means somebody that's wary, someone that's doubtful, someone that's even suspicious. Whereas timorous reflects a physical fear of danger, here we have a mental fear of being let down. Someone who says they're going to be there for you and you just doubt that they're going to be there for you. So whereas timorous doubted the protection of the king in the face of the danger, so mistrust will doubt the power of the king to help him in face of danger. So starting there on page 23 in paragraph 4, we begin reading. Now when he, Christian, was got up to the top of the hill, there came those two men running to meet him amain, very quickly, rapidly. The name of the one was Timorous, and the other Mistrust. To whom Christian said, Sirs, what's the matter? You run the wrong way. Timorous answered that they were going to the city of Zion and had got up that difficult place. But said he, the further we go, the more danger we meet with. Wherefore we turned and are going back again. Yes, said Mistrust, for just before us lie a couple of lions in the way. Whether sleeping or waking, we know not. We could not think if we came within reach, but they would presently pull us in pieces. Then said Christian, You make me afraid. But whither shall I fly to be safe? If I go back to mine own country, that is prepared for fire and brimstone, and I shall certainly perish there. If I can get to the celestial city, I am sure to be in safety there. I must venture. To go back is nothing but death. To go forward is fear of death, and life everlasting beyond it. I will yet go forward. So Mistrust and Timorous ran down the hill, and Christian went on his way. But thinking again of what he heard from the men, he felt in his bosom for his roll, that he might read therein and be comforted. But he felt and found it not. Then was Christian in great distress and knew not what to do, for he wanted that which used to relieve him, and that which should have been his pass into the celestial city. Here, therefore, he began to be much perplexed and knew not what to do. At last he bethought himself that he had slept in the arbor that is in the side of the hill. And falling down upon his knees, he asked God's forgiveness for that his foolish act. And then went back to look for his roll. But all the way he went back, who can sufficiently set forth the sorrow of Christian's heart? Sometimes he sighed, sometimes he wept, and oftentimes he chid himself for being so foolish to fall asleep in that place, which was erected only for a little refreshment for his weariness. Thus, therefore, he went back, carefully looking on this side and on that, all the way as he went, if happily he might find his roll that had been his comfort so many times in his journey. He went thus till he came again within sight of the arbor where he sat and slept. But that sight renewed his sorrow the more by bringing again, even afresh, his evil of sleeping into his mind. Thus, therefore, he now went on, bewailing his sinful sleep, saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, that I should sleep in the daytime, that I should sleep in the midst of difficulty, that I should so indulge the flesh as to use that rest for ease to my flesh, which the Lord of the hill hath erected only for the relief of the spirits of pilgrims. How many steps have I took in vain? Thus it happened to Israel for their sin. They were sent back again by the way of the Red Sea, and I am made to tread those steps with sorrow, which I might have trod with delight, had it not been for this sinful sleep. How far might I have been on my way by this time? I am made to tread those steps thrice over, which I needed not to have trod but once. Yea, now also I am like to be benighted, for the day is almost spent. Oh, that I had not slept!" Now by this time he was come to the arbor again, where for a while he sat down and wept. But at last, as Christian would have it, looking sorrowfully down under the settle, there he espied his roll, the which he, with trembling and haste, catched it up and put it again into his bosom. But who can tell how joyful this man was when he had gotten his roll again? For this roll was the assurance of his life and acceptance at the desired haven. Therefore, he laid it up in his bosom, gave thanks to God for directing his eye to the place where it lay, and with joy and tears betook himself again to his journey. But oh, how nimbly now did he go up the rest of the hill. Yet before he got up, the sun went down upon Christian. And this made him again recall the vanity of his sleeping to his remembrance. And thus he again began to condole with himself, "Oh, thou sinful sleep, how for thy sake am I like to be benighted in my journey? I must walk without the sun. Darkness must cover the path of my feet, and I must hear the noise of the doleful creatures because of my sinful sleep." Now also he remembered the story that Mistrust and Timorous told him of how they were frighted with the sight of the lions. Then said Christian to himself again, "These beasts range in the night for their prey, and if they should meet with me in the dark, how should I shift them? How should I escape being by them torn in pieces?" Thus he went on his way. But while he was thus bewailing his unhappy miscarriage, he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there was a very stately palace before him, the name of which was Beautiful. and it stood just by the highway side. And with that, we will stop. This entire episode on Christian's pilgrimage has to do with that role. That role that was given to him, if you remember, by one of the three shining ones that he met at his place of deliverance, where he saw the cross and the tomb and was relieved of his burden. But the question comes to mind, what was so special about that roll, that scroll? And it had a seal on it, if you remember. What was so special about that roll? Well, in our reading for tonight, Bunyan tells us what that roll was and what made that roll so special. On page 24 there in paragraph 3, he says, "This roll was the assurance of his life and acceptance at the desired haven." This roll was the symbol of Christian's assurance of salvation. Assurance that he was, in fact, a Christian. Assurance that he really did have eternal life. Assurance that he really did have a home in that celestial city. And so that assurance was important to him. And really, for all Christians, assurance is a special gift from God. It's a gift from God to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus belong to Him. You see, the Bible teaches us that as a Christian, you can have assurance of your salvation. In fact, go with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, where we find this blessed truth. 1 John chapter 5, where the Apostle John, here toward the end of his letter, even says, this is the reason why I wrote the letter of 1 John. 1 John 5:12, beginning there, John writes, "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And then he says these famous words, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God," Christians. Why? "So that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." This knowledge of eternal life is assurance. Now, what a miserable life this would be if you and I could not have assurance of our salvation. And yet God is gracious enough to give us assurance. Assurance is a gracious gift from God. This kind of gift is very encouraging. It's very reassuring when you're faced with a hill of difficulty like Christian was, or when you're faced with a hill of danger, or even a hill of despair. Assurance is a blessed gift from God. But there's something else that we see about this gift. It's also a very fragile gift. Assurance is a fragile gift. It's like a gift that you might get at Christmas time. It's wrapped up in all that beautiful wrapping paper. But inside that wrapping paper is a box. And on that box it says these words, "Fragile, handle with care." But you don't see those words on your box because it's wrapped up so nicely. And so if you're anything like me, you take up that box and you start shaking it. What is the sound? What's in there? What did they get for me? Only to find out when you take off the wrapping paper and you look at the box and you see "fragile, handle with care," and then you start rattling it and you realize, oh, I probably broke it. You open it up and there it is. Something that was broken. God's gift of assurance can quickly and easily get broken or even go missing when it is shaken up by your sin. That's what happened to the assurance that this pilgrim had. That's what happened to Christian in that arbor. His sin of spiritual slothfulness caused the roll of his assurance to tumble to the ground so that when he was stirred up by God's word, he left it behind in the arbor. He had lost his assurance. Doesn't mean he lost his salvation. He just lost his assurance of that salvation. Now, for a time, it didn't seem like Christian needed that roll, as we read, because when he got to the top of the hill, it seemed like he got a second wind. He was ready to go, especially when he meets timorous and mistrust going the opposite way. He's basically chastising them. "You're going the wrong way. Why don't you keep going this way?" But they were running away from another danger. But yet, even with that danger, Christian made a fresh resolution. He made a resolution not to turn back. Now, it is possible for a Christian to not have assurance and yet not know that he doesn't have the assurance, because there's no problem in their life. There's no danger. There's no disappointment. There's no discouragement. There's no more hills of difficulty. And so at the top of the hill, Christian was able to make this resolution. He remembered where he left, the city of destruction. He remembered where he was going, the celestial city. He remembered all that he had already went through to get where he was, so he made that resolution. He says, I must venture. He said, I will yet go forward, because he believed that the dangers behind him were still greater than the dangers ahead of him. So we see from this that Christian still had some spiritual strength, some spiritual courage, in spite of his sin in the arbor. So Christian was still a Christian. He didn't lose his salvation, because even this desire to go forward, this desire to persevere, that too is a gift from the Lord to his people. But then what timorous and mistrust told Christian about those two lions that we will meet next week made him afraid. So another hill of difficulty, another trial, another danger. And it was then and only then he realized his role was missing and his assurance was gone. I like what George Cheever writes about this. He says, there is nothing that takes away the courage of a Christian as the consciousness of guilt. We as Christians, sometimes when we leave from a Sunday of just relishing in the Word of God and being prepared and equipped for the week to come, and we feel like we are ready to go, and yet throughout the week we're tempted, tried, sometimes failing. What happens to that courage? What happens to that resolve? It too is gone, and sometimes so is our assurance. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever lost your assurance of faith because of some sin in your life that you are harboring, or some sin in your life that you have not brought to the Lord for full confession? Remember, assurance is a gift, but it's a fragile gift. You know, this is something even King David experienced when he sinned against the Lord. If you remember in the matter of Uriah the Hittite and his wife Bathsheba. In fact, Psalm 51, if you go back there with me, we're going to spend most of our time here tonight. But in Psalm 51, which was our psalm for today, we read it through this morning, we sang through it this morning, we find that the role of David's assurance was also missing, just like Christians. In verses 11 and 12 of this lament, Psalm 51, David prays to the Lord, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. These are words of someone who lost that role in the arbor where he sinned. These are the words of someone who lost that assurance of their faith because they no longer have that joy of salvation. You see, David's sin against God brought doubt into his mind instead of assurance. That's what sin will do to you. Sin will bring doubt into your mind just like it did in David's. Doubt of God's presence with him. Remember what he said there in verse 11? He says, cast me not away from thy presence. We have the gracious promise as God's people, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. And I'm sure that applied to David as well. God was not going to leave David. David was his. David belonged to him, just like we belong to him. But here was the assurance of that presence missing in his life. Why? Because of sin. Doubt. Also, David's sin brought despair into his heart instead of assurance. Doubt and despair. Despair about God's power being removed from him. Again, he says in verse 11, he prays, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, God had given the Holy Spirit to David to lead his people Israel, to lead and to be able to teach them in the right ways that they ought to go. And he says, Lord, I do not want that power to be missing. Now, God certainly still had more plans for David in his life, but he didn't want that power to be gone. And yet, this sin brought despair that power will be gone. Have you ever experienced that despair thinking, God, don't take away the power? Don't take away the power of prayer. Don't take away the power of your word. Don't take away the power of your spirit in me. I know you've said again, you will never leave me or forsake me, but sometimes we despair because We miss that power. Then also David's sin brought discouragement into his soul instead of assurance. Doubt, despair, discouragement, because the peace of his salvation was gone. He prayed again in verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You know, Christians ought to have joy in salvation. And yet so often we go through this life without joy. Why? Perhaps because we have sinned in an arbor and we've never gone back to repent over that, to regret it, to bring that before the Lord. And we lose that assurance. We lose that assurance of God's presence with us, of God's power with us, of God's peace. Now, this does not mean that God's presence and power and peace had left David. It just means that David's experience and assurance of those blessings was missing. Remember, assurance of salvation is a gift from God, but assurance is also a very fragile gift. Sin can take away that assurance. It's kind of a bit like that man you probably heard on the news that bought into Bitcoin when it first started out. That Bitcoin, which is sort of a currency made out of nothing, right? Well, now it's worth millions of dollars. But he forgot the password to his account, and he's locked out. It's just within his reach. It's just there. It's in his name. But he can't open it. Why? Because he forgot the password. So just like his forgetfulness locked him out of enjoying the benefits of his investment, what will lock you out of your enjoyment of the benefits of salvation? Sin. Even the smallest sin, which we would consider small. Any sin can take away that assurance as you leave it there in the arbor. You know, the loss of assurance because of sin will often be reflected in a few things. If there's a lack of peace in your heart, you need to go back to that arbor. If there's a lack of pleasure in your salvation, again, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If you lack joy in your salvation, you need to go back to the arbor. If there's a lack of progress in your walk with God, if you look back in your life and you see that you're stagnant, that you're really not growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, you need to go back to the arbor to see if there's some sin that so easily besets you that has caused you to lose that assurance. Maybe there's a lack of praise in your lips. You know, you sing these songs, they go through, you know, that process of singing, but it's not from the heart. Maybe you need to go back to the arbor. Or maybe there's a lack of prayer in your life. That too can be reflected or reflective of a loss of assurance because of sin. Now, again, this does not mean that all doubt, all despair, all discouragement is caused by sin. But it does mean that you need to consider it and go back to the arbor to find it. Even John Bunyan experienced a lack of assurance about the time when he was arrested and put into prison for preaching the gospel without a license. That was a very dark, dark day for him. And even though all he had to do was sign a piece of paper and say, "I will not preach without a license," he could have been free. But for 12 years there, he remained. One writer says that there was great gloom upon Bunyan's soul, and the things of God were hidden from him, and neither the sun nor stars, spiritually speaking, appeared for many days. He was in a dark, dark place in his soul. Now, in his case, it was not sin. It was actually God just providentially hiding his grace from him a little bit, hiding that mercy. It was still there, but veiling it, so that it would cause Bunyan to cry out more and rely more on God through those dark trials. But here our Christian is going through those trials because of his sin. So again, even though not all doubt and despair and discouragement is caused by sin, many times it is. And that's why we need to regularly examine ourselves and keep this prayer continually before the Lord. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Is there a lack of peace in your heart tonight? Is there a lack of pleasure in your salvation? Is there a lack of progress in your walk with God? Is there a lack of praise on your lips to God? Is there a lack of prayer in your heart? You need to examine yourself and pray that God would do His examination. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What sin have you left in the arbor? Because that is where you will find your assurance once again. And that's what Christian experienced. Because what he needed most, number two, was a fresh relief. A fresh relief from the burden of his sin. Now remember, that big burden got rolled off into the tomb when he was at the place of deliverance. But now it seems like there's a new burden. It's a burden that wasn't his to carry. It was a burden that had already been paid for. It was a burden that had already been forgiven. It was a burden that Jesus Christ had already dealt with. So why is he carrying this new burden? So all throughout his trek back to this arbor on the hill of difficulty, Christian, if you recall, sighed and wept and chided himself for being so foolish. Why? Because he had failed to watch and be sober as the Lord tells us to be. 1 Thessalonians 5:6-8 is actually in the margins. These are the passages that Bunyan really was thinking about and meditating on as he was writing this passage. This is what Paul says. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. And that's what he did. He slept in that arbor. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, Christians, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. But Christian had not done that. And that's why he's going back to the arbor. The grief of Christian for his sin is really almost too hard for us to read. Because it's just like he's wallowing in it. And it seems like, you know, I want to read something that's a little more positive, a little more uplifting, but this is kind of depressing and getting me down. Sentence after sentence, paragraph after paragraph, he bemoans and bewails his sinful sleep. It's gloomy. But you know, sometimes that's exactly where God wants us to be, for us to be relieved of that burden, that new burden that we weren't even supposed to bear, and find reassurance once again. And that was exactly where Christian had to be in order for him to find his role of assurance and find relief for his burden, from his burden from the Lord. Relief and assurance can be renewed through personal repentance of your sin and sinfulness. Personal assurance can be renewed through personal repentance. Ken Poles writes this. He says, repentance is the way to joy and light and renewed hope of forgiveness in life. That's what Christians need. And that's what so many Christians need today. Maybe that's what you need in your life today. Maybe that's what you need in your heart. Repentance is the way to life, to joy and light and renewed hope of forgiveness in life. And that kind of repentance, as we just read from the life of this Christian, includes a remembrance of your sin against the Lord. It does include remembrance. Now, that doesn't mean that you relive your sin. You know, there are some people who like to do that. They like to give these long testimonies about the kind of sinner that they were, and in doing so, they kind of relive their sins. Well, this is not about reliving your sin to others, but rather it's remembering what your sin was so that you can confess it. Confession is simply saying the same thing that God says about your sin. And if to do that, you kind of got to know about your sin. You got to remember what you did. Sometimes it's kind of funny when you hear kids say, I'm sorry, and they don't even really know what they did. They don't even know what they're sorry for. You got to remember what you did. But you also need to remember what your sin does. It breaks that fellowship in many ways. This means that you take responsibility for your sin. Like we saw this morning, you don't make excuses about your sin. You admit to it. You realize the exceeding sinfulness of your sin. It's accountability. And this too is something David remembers. David remembers his own sin. If you're there in Psalm 51, again, look at verse 3. He says to the Lord in prayer, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Oh, he didn't mean like he was reliving it, but no, he was remembering what it was all about. He was remembering just how sinful it was. To find your role of assurance again, you need to remember and admit and acknowledge your sin against God. But then also, repentance includes a regret. A remembrance, but then a regret. Christian expresses his regret when he realized just how much time and effort he wasted when he had to return to the arbor on the hill. I like what he said. He says to himself, "How many steps have I taken in vain?" So instead of going over the path of difficulty just once, now he had to go over it three times. He went up, then down, and up again three times. How many steps have I taken in vain? How much time have I wasted? How much effort have I wasted? He regretted it. David, too, expressed regret for his sin. If you look at verse 4 of Psalm 51, he says to the Lord again in prayer, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and I've done this evil in thy sight. Oh, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." David, Christian, regretted their sin. Unfortunately, there are some Christians that relish their sins. And so there's no room for repentance of it because they kind of like their sin. They kind of like their lusts. They don't think of it as a real big deal, and yet they will not find their role, their assurance, which is a gift from God, a fragile gift. So to find your role of assurance again, you need not only to express regret and sorrow for your sin, you need to feel it in your heart. It's not just words from the lips, but it's a feeling in your heart. Paul writes it this way in 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance." In other words, it comes from here. It comes from the heart. "Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." What is the sorrow of the world? I think we're all familiar with it. The sorrow of the world simply means that when you get caught, you express regret. Or maybe if someone misunderstands what you said, you are sorry that they took it that way. That's not apology. That's not sorrow. That's not repentance. The sorrow and regret of the Lord means that you are truly sorry for your sin. You recognize that it's your sin, not anybody else's. That you're at fault, no one else. That you're to be held accountable, no one else. Even though Christian felt regret for wasting so much time and effort, the question then comes to mind, was it really in vain? You see, God is gracious even when we fail. God is gracious even when we sin. God knows our flesh. He remembers we're made of dust. He knows that there's going to be a lot of times when we have to go back to the arbor to remember and regret our sin and to find our role of assurance. And so he uses those times where we go over the same ground three times, he uses those times to work in our hearts even more. I like what John Kelman writes about it. He says, "Thus the experience for Christian was not really in vain, for every step backward in self-examination is in reality a step forward." Because remember how he went back up that hill third time? Says he went up nimbly. Oh, he had that assurance again. He had that joy of his salvation restored again. Why? Because he had confessed his sin before the Lord and he was forgiven of those sins once again. Repentance includes regret, but then also repentance includes a request. This is an appeal to the Lord and his grace for a fresh, though undeserved, forgiveness and relief, a request. If you remember, the first thing Christian did when he realized that he lost his role because of the sin that he had committed in that arbor on the hill of difficulty, Bunyan writes, he fell on his knees, he asked God forgiveness for that foolish act. That was the first thing he did, was he asked God's forgiveness. That's what we need to do. Oh, remember what we've done. Oh, regret it. Have that godly sorrow that works repentance. And then, actually before then, request forgiveness from the Lord. Go to him. Don't run from him, go to him. Remember, this is what David did all throughout Psalm 51. It's a prayer. It's a plea. If you look at verses 9 and 10, David prays for God's cleansing and forgiveness. He says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Christian truly repented of his sin. David truly repented of his sin. And when you truly repent from your sin, you will find that role of assurance once again. You see, after Christian repented of his sin by remembering it, regretting it, requesting for it to be given, forgiven by the Lord, he was given that fresh relief when the Lord opened his eyes back in the arbor to find that role. Bunyan tells us that Christian rejoiced and gave thanks with joy and tears. He took himself again to the journey. See, there's still a journey for those Christians who have fallen into sin. There still is more to go, more to run, more pilgrimage, because God is gracious to us. And I think we can be sure that this also happened to David. We can be sure that the Lord answered his prayer and restored unto him the joy of his salvation. In another psalm, Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5, David also wrote, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness, for his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And that's when the joy of your salvation is restored, and you have that assurance again. But even though for Christian and for David, their role of assurance was restored to them, they still both experienced some consequences for their sins, didn't they? I mean, we know this about David's life. Think about his son Absalom. Think about the other sons and some of the sins that they committed. And think about everything that happened in that kingdom, even after his sins, even the death of that child. So it is for Christian. Here in our story, Christian still had to walk in the dark when the sun went down, benighted. It got dark. He wasn't supposed to be walking in the dark. He was supposed to be walking in the light, but that sin held him back. And it caused him to remember again the vanity of his sleeping even more. So yes, even Christian, even though your sin may be forgiven, it is still hard for you to forget. It was for Christian, it was for David, and it will be for us. Sometimes when we face those fears again, it will come back to our minds. We still have that assurance, but oh, if we just hadn't slept in the arbor, if we just hadn't sinned against God. So even though you may be ready for the dangers that lie ahead like those lions, you may still feel regret for the sins of your past. But tonight I want you to remember that repentance is a two-sided coin. Repentance includes remembrance and regret. But if that's the only thing that you do or have, you're going to remain in that gloomy condition. Because that remembrance and regret must turn to the other side of the coin, which is a request and a reliance upon the grace of God once again. You see, if you just think about your sins and you just keep sorrowing for your sins, that in and of itself will not bring relief or reassurance. Relief and assurance will only come when you look again and afresh to your Savior, the one who paid the price for that very sin that you committed against him, even that sin that caused you to doubt. So when you repent, let that repentance bring you back and return to the Lord. But then what does the Lord provide next? As we're going to see next week, God provides, even for that wandering pilgrim who got back on track, he provides a place of relief and security for pilgrims. It's a place that is right in the middle of the darkness and the dangers of the night. God leads his people to this palace beautiful, which we will learn more about next week. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this blessed assurance that we learn more about tonight through not only the Pilgrim's Progress, but also through David's experience there in Psalm 51. Father, we all know that we experience sin in our lives because we all still maintain that sinful nature. Sometimes, Lord, we succumb to that flesh. Sometimes we feed that flesh, and sometimes we fail because of that flesh and we sin. We fall asleep in the arbor like Christian did, or do something even more unspeakable. Oh, Father, I pray that you will help us to see that if we are missing any of the assurance of our salvation, perhaps it's because we've left it in the arbor where we've sinned. Because we've not repented of that sin. We've not confessed it before you. We've not brought it to you. We've not asked forgiveness for it. Because perhaps we're still harboring that. Because deep down it's something we enjoy. It's something we like. It's something we want to keep for ourselves. Oh, Father, we know that assurance is a gift, but it's a very fragile gift. The salvation is an eternal gift, but it's the enjoyment of the blessings of that salvation, the joy of that salvation that sometimes can be elusive. And so, Father, I pray that you will open our eyes to see if perhaps the reason why we do not have that assurance in our life is because of sin, or perhaps, Lord, you need to take away some of that assurance from us. Because, Lord, we are living lives of sin. Either way, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see the components of this repentance. We do need to remember what sin is. We need to admit and acknowledge our sin before you like David and Christian did. We need to then, Lord, of course, regret it with a godly sorrow. But then always knowing on the other side of the coin that it brings us right to the foot of the cross once again. We remember the gospel, that Christ died for sin, according to the scriptures. And he was raised the third day, according to the scriptures, in order to release me from the burden of that very sin. So, Father, I pray that you will restore the joy of our salvation as your people, that you will give us that new reassurance of our faith and relationship with you through the gift of repentance and renewed faith in what the cross of Christ has done for us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.